Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music, man, and I'm excited to be here. I act like it's a long time coming, but we've been trying to get this thing done for quite some time, y'all. I have a special guest in the studio, but you know, once you've been here one time, you're a guest no more. So, but I have a guest in the studio with me today, the one, the only Zacharim to his whole government name, Zachary Wayne Lapp. Is in studio with us today, man. We're going to talk about a little bit of everything. We're going to talk about the book again, give y'all some insight on that. But look, he's here because I, you know, it's Praise Break Friday. So what we do on Friday, look, we talk about praise and worship and all of that. So a lot of the conversation that I didn't have with him when he was here the first time, because he was here strictly about the book. The first time I kind of let that slide. So now I got him in here, and now we can have that discussion. So look here, for those of you who got choirs and praise teams and all of that, look, if you got orchestras, all of that, just let me know, and we're going to have a good time tonight. So let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, all you have to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer. They are on the other side of the glass, the one that only Latanya Nelson and Jay Mail on the other side of the glass. All right, Rock, they're on the other side of the glass, and you can push one. That'll get you to them. They're going to check you out and make sure you got some semblance of the Holy Ghost before they let you talk live on the air, because, you know, some of y'all ain't saved all the time. You know. They like some people say, I'm still working on it. You know, some folks still working on some stuff. So, hey, I ain't mad. But anyway, we're looking forward to y'all. Just push one, that'll get you to them, and then it'll get you back over to me, and you can ask us whatever about what you got. Amen. If you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. Again, that call-in number is 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. You can reach us there. Again, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you want to follow us, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff, at comcast.net. That's all you have to do. You can email the show. We would love to read those on the air. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. Follow us on social media. Real simple to do. If you want to tweet the show, we've got some extra stuff going on, but we'll figure it out. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's 2T's 1L 1O. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. I don't know why that's telling me to do something over there, but we already did that.
We are reconnecting you now.
Come on, Block Talk. Get together. Thank you. All right. See, now I got echo. So there's two things running over here. Let's do that.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
All right. So we got rid of that. Okay, cool. Anyway, as I was saying, 2T's 1L 1O, as you tweet the show at Twitter, TTLO Radio. If you want to follow us on Instagram, same thing. 2T's 1L 1O at TTLO Radio. You can find us there. 2T's 1L 1O. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And then the live stream. Oh, there it goes. It just popped up. I'm like, what happened? The live stream is now up and running, and you can find us there. facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then last but not least, remember we are now officially an iHeartRadio partner, an iHeartRadio station. You can download the podcast on your iHeart app. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Media Group, and you can get all of the shows on the TTLO network. That means you can get TTLO Radio, you can get One Sister to Another, and you can get Grindology. And if you didn't hear the name of your show called, maybe you need to give me a holler and see what we can do. Huh? That's what we do. Anyway, so look, I'm excited that he is here, and we're going to do this. I'm going to take a quick break just so I can talk to my producer real quick, make sure everything is where it's supposed to be, because I don't hear the noise no more, so I'm assuming we're good to go. And then we're going to come right back with Zachary Wayne Lavender. He's the author of this amazing book, Victim of Circumstance. But this ain't all he did. Before we ever did any of this, he was doing something else, and that's why he was here today. So I'm going to get all into that in a few moments. In the meantime, let's do this. I'm going to make sure. Let's do this right here. We're going to touch you. Be right back, y'all.
Makes no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. Here's one that's always to get ready.
Get ready
for your blessing.
For your blessing.
Get ready.
Get ready
for your miracle.
For your miracle.
The one, the only, Zachary Wayne Lavender. One more time. If I turn your mic, that might help.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you, sir?
Well.
You good. How are you?
Yeah.
It's that season, right? There we go. It's that season. Okay. So look, man, I've just been excited to have you here. And for those of you who don't know, Zachary chimes in all the time with some amazing insight when we're talking about certain things. So we're gonna talk about the book a little bit. I'm actually gonna do that a little early on. But I want to get into the praise and worship. Then I want to get into the state of the church and just things that you see, because you anytime we've discussed these articles, all the different articles that we've discussed, you always seem to have just some insight to have to make us look at things a little bit differently. And you're doing it from as a kid who was raised in the church, and you've seen almost everything.
Pretty much.
47 years in the church is a long time. That's a long time. And all in the music business. So you've seen, I'm sure, the good, bad, and ugly, as they would say. So before we get into that, let me ask you this. Victim of Circumstance, look, the book is ridiculously good. But it is raw, it is transparent, everybody who knows me knows I don't do a lot of reading unless I have to, especially now that school is out, I ain't trying to read nothing. but this thing was good. It tears at your heartstrings. Tell me what has been since the last time you were here. You had the great book release party, great party over right around the corner, actually. How's the book doing, and what's been the response?
The book is doing well. What I have noticed about what has actually transpired from that book, I'm getting a lot of people coming to me asking me questions about their own children, about their own personal lives, their own personal struggles.
Mm.
The most recent one has been... I'm on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the dialysis tests actually prevent,
wow. Okay.
But the most interesting thing is that it allows them to have more dialogue.
Mm-hmm. It opens the door for conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole idea of writing the book.
Okay.
It opened up. So healing can start to take place because of conversation. Mm-hmm. But that's been the biggest part of the feedback from the book of people. I started to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Talk about their own struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be homosexuality. Maybe it's something else.
That was for me the part that stuck out about the book, because the book dealt with homosexuality, but it dealt with also addictions outside that had absolutely nothing to do with sex or had nothing to do with homosexuality, because you could have the same issues being in a straight relationship or relationships.
The book can be used for any area of struggle.
Absolutely.
For any area of struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think that was what, because I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to read that, I ain't got, you know, like, but, and once you realize that, I like it because it forces you to look at areas in your life.
Absolutely.
That you may not, you may ignore that you're struggling, or you may not even realize that that's what it is. So it makes you, I like anything that makes you turn around and look in the mirror and go, okay, wait a minute, this looks real familiar. You know, that's a good read.
In the book, I call it a maintenance check.
Ah.
A maintenance check.
That's a good segue. Mm-hmm. Because we've been on this, it seems like ever since, and I appreciate Pastor Ellis for inviting us, but ever since we went to that, man, I think it's a great thing. Mental health in the church or mental health in our community. Yeah. You're seeing churches everywhere having these conversations now. And bringing people to the front, and it's happening in the communities, and because they're starting to realize that there's something wrong.
That we need therapy.
Yes.
And the word.
Yes. Yeah.
Natural therapy.
Yeah.
People don't want to know more than natural therapy.
Yeah, and I think that's been amazing. That's why I said it was amazing that we said a self check, because we talked about self care.
Yeah.
That was a big piece of it. Self care and how we tend not to. Especially men, we tend not to do that because we're supposed to be, you know, we ain't gonna have no issues.
Right.
We're not supposed to be emotional. You know, we can't have a breakdown. That's not manly. That's not. How dare you?
What? They're not supposed to.
Okay. Right.
Come to the church, they're not supposed to.
Right.
It's taboo.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, but the same way with that, people will say, well, you know, you Christian, you shouldn't be depressed either.
Right. That's a lot.
You shouldn't be depressed. You shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be, you shouldn't have anxiety. You know, you shouldn't, get the Bible say be anxious for nothing. I know what the Bible says, but.
According to culture, Christians should be perfect people. They shouldn't have to struggle.
Where are these people at in the Bible? Because in my Bible, I didn't find.
I posted on Facebook before I came in. I said that God, how do I put it? God got you. If God chose and used perfect people,
mm-hmm.
nothing would be accomplished.
Come on, that's good.
Nothing would be accomplished.
That's good.
If He only chose and used perfect people, His will would never be fulfilled.
Wow. That's good stuff.
If you look at the Bible, they were not perfect people.
Even the 12, even from the ones that God chose in the Old Testament to the 12 that Jesus chose, none of these people were perfect, and some of them were, you know, and that's why I laugh now. I said because the 12 that Jesus chose couldn't be some of y'all's pastors today.
That's a good point.
They wouldn't get voted in.
No, they wouldn't.
They would get voted. They would not even be allowed. That's what I'm saying. Don't get me started.
The pulpit committee.
How you feel about pulpit committee? Have you ever been on one?
No.
Would you?
I would never get on one.
Would you?
No.
What if they said? And I'm saying because of your spirituality. What if they said we need you for guidance?
No.
No.
I wouldn't be glad. That's not spiritual, Daniel.
I know it's not. I
wouldn't do it. Yeah, absolutely not.
Pulpit committees are not spiritual. I know. But what? get that from? From is it a worldly thing? I mean, is it just because we?
I have no idea where that came from. That's something I think that he made up as a people.
Is it because we had we were trying to avoid, for lack of better words, any some charlatan showing up and just taking over, saying I'm the new called one, and y'all. And so that was some sort of check, checks and balance.
Could be.
So
I've seen some posters to make sure that are really
good. I've seen three. Wow.
And they were not pleasant.
Yeah, I've seen three, and only one of the three were good. One of the three was good. And what's funny is, the one that was the best, people said probably were the least qualified to be on the committee.
I think if you were, if you were to change the name pulpit committee to something else,
search committee.
That just bad. It's not worse. Search committee. What are you searching for? What are you searching for?
But
if you notice, it's changing now.
Yeah.
Pastor, not name of the album.
Yes,
it's
Professor. Absolutely.
Well, which I think is great.
Clay Evans kind of set that in motion years ago with Pastor Charles.
I think it's great. I think if you have, but
the problem is you have churches that are so rigid in their, you know, in order to do that. And I don't know how, I've heard some stories. My godmother, Mary Felton, goes to fellowship,
right.
and she shared with me how, for lack of a better word, ignorant some people got, because they, you know, that ain't what our bylaws say. But
right.
Actually in theirs, it was there, but see, the problem is nobody saw Clay Evans retiring. And then when he went and said, this is what I'm doing, it was like, what you talking about?
Right.
Well, we want to have some people flying. This ain't right.
It's already done.
Yeah, and that's what, and if you notice in, at New Birth and down in Atlanta, they had a pulpit committee, and they were interviewing people, and the because that church has an issue, like, there's a hierarchy of bishops or something.
Right.
They took it on, and they said, we gonna pick y'all's pastor. And Bishop Ellis, I believe was his name. I think it's Bishop Ellis, Neil Ellis, whatever. He's like, he has the accent.
Right.
He said because y'all don't know what to look for in the pastor. So he said, why would I get a six or seven? Y'all don't know what to look for.
That's the problem with pulpit committee.
See?
That's what I said. Why are you searching?
Well, most of them are, but again, they're assigned by the church.
Right.
They're appointed. They're appointed.
I get that.
Yeah, they are appointed by the church. And I think the problem comes with that your job is to go out and bring people in, but your job ain't to pick. Your job is to open the door and let people know there's an opening, and that and then make room for those people to come and then step out the way. And then and at that point, the Holy Spirit will reveal who he should be versus who, you know, let's tear his name up real quick so we can get him out. And let's, well, he ain't married, so let's lie him out, you know. Yeah. And you know he's been divorced. How many? Yeah, get him out.
Prospect of elimination.
Yeah, by the time they get through, and then they talk.
You don't have nobody.
They call themselves trying, and then right, what you think is perfect.
You back in square one, but no pastor. You still don't have a pastor. All that, you still don't have a pastor. After all that exit.
Oh God.
And eliminate. You still don't have a pastor.
Oh God. Oh God. I just find it amazing that's the that's where we are, and some churches. But I like what you said. A lot of churches are getting away from it. I think they're finding that. And if your pastor has laid the groundwork, you can do it without as much resistance.
Right. It's easier.
Yes.
It's easier.
Yes. Yes. And you save your congregation the heartache.
That's right.
And that fight and church splits. Don't even get excited now. But and church splits and all that. So anyway, y'all, we're in studio talking with Zachary Lavin, the author, psalmist, all that good stuff. So let's keep in that flow. You talked about the reception you've been getting from the book. I remember I knew that was going to happen just based off the questions you got when one of our fellow friends shared some stuff that was going on with them. And because there was a hunger there to say, how do I help when it's a family member? When it's my son, when it's my daughter, when it's my, you know, or my brother or my sister, how do I help? And I think, I honestly believe that it's going to, if it has not already helped, it is going to continue to help a lot of people.
Well, let me share this with you.
Come on.
I have a phone call from a brother of mine. He's a deacon today. He's in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Japan. He said he was going to Starbucks last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I was going last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in Starbucks getting a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he looks over to another Friday reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I kept looking. He said, and he kept looking. He's in Japan.
Oh, wow.
He kept looking. He said, that's not the book.
Wow.
Well, he woman told him, he said, I know the author.
I know the author. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's the thing about it. That's the thing about this age now that we're in is that, you know, it's easy to get your stuff everywhere. You know, I was looking at the analytics of our show on Blog Talk, and I'm always amazed. It's, you know, it's great that you see the United States lit up, but when you see, like who listens in Uzbekistan? Like, y'all speak English. Y'all got an interpreter, or they could be spies or trolls, for all I know. You know, it could be Russians. But, you know, the fact that there's people over there listening, so it, the fact that you're able to reach so many people, and it's going to help you because there are people, you know, unlike here in America where you're free to walk around and do that and you know and to explore or whatever. In other countries you're not. And you can be killed.
Right.
So, you know, it might save somebody's life. It may save somebody's life. So you are what do you do currently at you're at Lifeline Church? Okay, what do you do currently at Lifeline Church?
Right now I'm not doing anything.
Okay. I know you
but did. I wasn't involved in the music society. I've been a 6 years professional.
It's been that long?
Yeah, so I've been 6 years. For the first five, I was involved in music and children's choir.
Okay.
I started with children in October 2013.
Mm.
I was just in December last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's not been anything. I'm just step back for a minute and focus on the project I'm working on.
Okay.
For the youth, for the music.
That's awesome. So give us some music background. I know in the book you talked about all the way back to being five years old, I think?
Seven years old
taking music lessons.
I was 11 when I
started taking piano. 11 taking
piano
lessons. Mm-hmm.
7 years old. I started taking piano at Urban School of Music, Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking piano there. I had a great teacher. Then I started taking voice when I was 16. Mm-hmm. A teacher was in downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Started writing when I was 16 years old. Started composing when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And
you did all the writing. Now, you didn't say just writing, you said composing.
Yeah.
Help us out with the difference. Because writing.
They're all the same thing.
Okay, all the same. Writing, composing, all the same thing.
Yeah.
But you write music, you wrote. You did a, and I don't know if this was your first one, the first one that I could recall. You did this cantata.
Yeah, first one.
And the thing was like huge. And I think if not for that godforsaken weather that night, you probably would have had a ridiculous.
Bethlehem's Joy.
And that was a collaboration with Lifeline and First.
It was a collaboration with Lifeline and other singles throughout the Chicago area.
Oh! Okay, but you all just did it at first.
I handpicked all the singers for that.
Did you?
Yes, every one of them.
Wow.
There were four singers. I handpicked every one of them.
Wow. I did not know that. Wow. Okay. That's awesome. And did you all record that?
I got a DVD of it.
There is a DVD.
Oh,
okay.
I got one.
Okay. because I know I was waiting. I just so, yeah, okay. I was wondering if it was ever going to be yeah. Wait, what? Okay, I'm gonna read some of these comments. A pastor should name. Angela Johnson said the same thing. A pastor should name his successor if possible. Greater Bethlehem, our old church, isn't naming nobody, which again is pitiful. New Birth had a pastor and fired him. Yeah, they did. They felt. Yeah, but then and then watch this. The people at New Birth, just to get back to this for a hot second, they wanted Eddie Long Jr.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know that's a lot of church for a first time pastor. That's a lot, and I mean, hey, that's just me saying that. But that's a lot of church.
Yeah.
That's a big old place, and you have no prior pastoral experience. Now that don't mean God can't call you to do it.
That's true.
But
maybe not for that house.
Yeah. Because that's amazing. Darius Brooks, man, yo, Will is what's best.
Hey, Darius.
Come on now. Been trying to get Darius on this show for I don't know. I've been trying to get Darius on here, I don't know how long. And I think we reached out to him. I think I would knock on this church door one day. Try to get him on here. I told him, I said, he come home and set up a keyboard and everything, you know, so he can play or do something. So music, writing, and everything. What has been the best time you've had in dealing with radio and music? The best time.
In 2006, okay. When I called it Freedom,
mm-hmm.
and I was the play studio for 6 years.
I remember that.
And when I...
Because you did a workshop.
Right. When I stepped away from the play thing,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Smith asked me for the children's part.
Okay.
You want me to take whose children's part? I know what the treatment for first day was the children.
Right.
So I said, okay, I took the assignment. That has been the best physical experience for a long term.
Wow.
The children. Amazing.
Is it because they are not as rigid as adults and they're willing to just try, whereas adults are kind of already stuck and we not?
That's part of it.
Okay.
Part of it.
Okay.
But working with children, you have a lot of freedom.
Yes. Okay.
A lot of freedom with children, and then children will do what you tell them to do.
That's what I was getting at, because they're not as, you know, we call kids hard-headed when they're doing something, and they are, you get a quicker buy-in from the
Absolutely.
Children than you do from
yeah.
the adults.
Yeah. And you take a lot of liberty with children, working with children.
Mm-hmm.
They're really great guinea pigs if you want to compose things
okay.
with children.
Okay.
And they love music.
That's what I meant about the adults being rigid.
They love music.
Yeah, absolutely.
They love music.
That's
so
awesome.
I love working with children.
So that's been your best
greatest journey yes.
so far.
Yes.
And then what's been the not so pleasant? If you want to
get
you can share, get it working the price. Why is that? I mean, are praise teams as ego driven as they sometimes are? If you can answer,
I've been in it.
Yeah.
The one that I work with has been that dynamic.
There's been, yeah.
Absolutely.
I should be, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I should be leading.
Well, I did a praise and worship workshop at Houston,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a very good observation. She said that your praise team singers should come out of choir and they go back to the choir.
Oh, wow.
She said that because if you separate the two, then the ego will stay in. Because
we're better than them.
That's why they come out of the choir and they think they go back to the choir. And that has always been like an honor.
Wow.
Extremely cool.
And Judy Kristen McAllister said that. That's good.
And that's what I like about Lifeline. They're singing the choir. Mm-hmm.
Lifeline as an actual choir?
Yeah.
I think I don't, you know what it is? Because I pop in and out of the broadcast. I see the beginning and then I'm like, yeah.
Every singer comes out of the choir and they go.
That way there is no.
There's
no division. That's awesome.
I think it's phenomenal when you see that. And that's not in every house.
Absolutely not.
And that should be in every house.
That was
the praise team goes back to the choir.
I can tell you that that caused a lot of division in my experience, before I was preaching, I was in the praise team. And then even when I started preaching, I was still in the praise team. But most of the praise team people were not in the choir. So we came up, we were in the back. The choir prayed or not, but we prayed in the back alone. And then we came, and then when the deacons got through all of that, you know, the devotion, when they got done with all of that, we would come out from the back. And we would do whatever we were going to do. And then we went our separate ways. Two went sat over there, two went sat over there, and I went up to the pulpit. Nobody went to. And then now the choir has to follow behind whatever temperature has been set. And now it's like, well, why not let. And then sometimes, depending on leadership, you don't have good leadership, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you'll get to a point where, I say one time this happened, the choir was always late coming to the choir stand. Always late. Or it's 11 o'clock and it's five people over there. And then right before the Lord's Prayer, here comes seven people. But now you've been in the church, because I saw you in the
entire time.
Right. And then you know, they would be that. So then I remember Pastor said, ain't gonna be no more late in the choir stand. He did it two more times. He sat him down. He said, the praise team gonna sing all day. That's who gonna sing the songs. Well, you know that was, the idea was probably the right idea, but it caused more division. Because now, you know.
It caused division. But when you think about it logistically, why would all these great singers, so-called great singers from the praise team, go to separate ways? Why wouldn't it go up to the choir? Their voice are needed there.
Yes.
It's needed there. So why would you? That never made sense to me.
Okay. Well, you said something to me. I'm trying to remember. Was it we would probably be a text or something? Because we talked about praise teams and choir and their usefulness today. What is your thought, or what is, well, not, I won't say your thought, because when you gave me, I remember you giving me scriptures and things like that. What's your thought currently on choirs and versus praise teams? Because every church can't have a praise team.
And every church is not equipped with a praise team.
Well, and every church is not equipped with a full choir.
That's right.
Okay.
So you do what you have in your house.
Okay. What's your thought, though,
choir? I think choir is a phenomenon.
Okay.
I would rather than a church choir. That's my preference.
Okay.
Because I think with church choirs, you get more camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
You get a greater camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
You get more cohesive in the church choir.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do more. You're looking at the church choir than the praise team.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
With a praise team, your music is very limited.
Okay.
It's limited. And there are things you can do with a church choir, you can do with a praise team.
See, I thought the exact opposite.
No.
I thought, again, you know.
Praise teams can sing everything.
That's true.
Well, a church choir can.
That's true.
Your church choir can sing anything, including praise teams, including the great praise teams. They can sing the whole gap that you sing.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That's
they can sing
true.
Everything.
That's true.
Well, the praise team cannot. A praise team can sing an anthem.
That's absolutely true.
Because anthem. Because anthems are primarily designed for larger choirs.
Okay, so
for larger groups.
I don't have written down questions, y'all, because y'all know that's not my MO.
Yes.
But you all in my questions.
A praise team cannot sing like my Johnny
Joy. That's true.
They can, but it would not give the full effect.
You don't have the voices.
That's right. A praise team cannot sing how it's
designed. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been a part of those?
Which one?
You've done.
I haven't had a recital response for 20 years. September
7th. Did you really?
20 years, yes, sir.
And then you have no interest in doing them anymore?
No. We haven't done that.
Okay.
Not that I can't do it anymore.
I know you can. I know you can sing. That's not even the question.
I did it Metro from 1982 to the time I left the studio. From 1982 to 1990.
Have you been asked?
No.
Really? Because they already know you're going to say no.
Yeah, I did 17 years in the college.
Wow. And then, yeah, because now, because you know, they hosted one here, Ebenezer, for years. And they.
And David, you gotta understand that my musical background started coming from you.
Yeah, I remember, funny story, and I don't know if my mom is on listening or not, because I can't hear people everywhere. I remember me and my mom sitting on the bed, because everybody watched TV in the bedrooms, you know, back there, sitting in the middle of the bed, and you were on Channel 11, PBS.
That was in 1978.
Yeah, see, I remember that, sitting on, I was 8. So I remember sitting, like telling you that because I'm listening to how old you are. I was 8, but I was sitting on the bed, me and my mom, and we were watching. Everybody had on tuxedos because it was that type of, and we were like, wow.
That was Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. We were sitting in
Function
Hall.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That is absolutely.
16 years old.
Were you? You were that? Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. Okay. I remember that. I remember because you had already left Kingdom.
Right.
But I remember. Okay. No, not then. But I'm saying you had left at one point, but you always would come back. They would ask you to come back to sing. And I remember, I don't know if it was Easter, you would come back for either Easter service or something, and Wounded for Me. that was the only hymn that I remembered. Seriously. Because I think that's when we combined the young adult choir that I was in and the large choir, so we all would be there. And I remember you leading that. And that thing always set a tone because it's the words of the song. Let me ask you about hymns. How do you feel about
them? Absolutely love them. As a matter of fact, my first hymn arrangement is 57 years. My first hymn arrangement that is published now. That's a published arrangement.
Wow.
My first hymn arrangement. Yeah, I love them.
That's,
I arrange them quite often.
That's awesome. So you'll take a hymn and read.
Absolutely. And
when you now help us out for the non musicians.
I just arranged.
He looked at my fault.
Eight parts, yes.
Eight parts. Is this 8 parts? I got to find mine somewhere in there.
It's being done in October this year. There's a group in Chicago called, they're located in South Holland.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can name the chorus now. They're going to do it in October at the fall concert.
That's not Chicago Glory Church, is it?
No.
Oh, not him. Okay.
It's conducted by this guy named Mr. Albert Jackson. Albert Jackson. Great choral conductor.
Black guy.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Not him. Okay. I'm thinking I... No, okay. You're not him.
They're
okay.
Going to do it
in
the fall concert this year in October.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I've seen Handel's Messiah performed. I've watched it a couple of times with videos, whatever. And then because of with social media, you're able to see what people do. Now, Antioch has always done one. Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. But I didn't know that, you know, it's not just, it's group, it's multiple singers from all over that combine to help. Yeah. So even here at Ebenezer, there are people from Antioch because some of our people go to Antioch to sing it there. Because I think ours is the first Sunday of December every year. I think it's right around that. I think we do it around the first or second
first
Sunday.
First Sunday, yeah, the second Sunday. Yeah.
So ours is the first Sunday then. Yeah. So I think that's what it is. So, but yeah, it's an amazing thing. And I know for me, they told me what it used to be like, and I said, well, you know, because you know, with the whole, when you have a full orchestra. I know last year I remember having they had the cellist, they had the
first and second violin.
They had violin.
Second violin, viola, cello, and you had the brass section.
I remember they had a trumpet, and I don't remember if they were missing some other pieces because people weren't able to get here. But you know, my thing was, you know, there are some amazingly talented high school orchestra students that probably would love to play. would love just to be invited and come in and say, hey, yeah. Because somebody said it's, they think that, somebody mentioned me and thought it'd be too complicated. And I'm like, not if you can reuse it.
No.
Yeah. And I want to see the timpani drums because I saw the music. Because they showed me the music. I can read drum music. And I know. Oh, absolutely not. And you have to follow that conductor. You have to follow that history. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anita Cross says it's all four strings, horn, organ, and piano. Okay. Got it. Okay. So you still the hymns, what do the hymns mean to you?
Most of the hymn writers, from what I studied, from studying hymnology,
mm-hmm.
most of those hymn writers were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the texts from the hymns are very much, I would like to think that the hymn lyrics
mm-hmm.
were written within the God's presence.
Wow. Wow.
Why do you think the hymn is still asking that it's in tongues? Because the text in those hymns
mm-hmm.
were written in God's presence.
Wow.
I believe that. Yeah.
We had a, and I wish somebody could help me, Angela Johnson interviewed, I cannot remember the lady's name, but the lady she interviewed did, I think it was the last interview with Thomas Dorsey,
right.
And he talked about when he wrote Precious Lord was when his family died in that tragic accident, and he said he went into the presence of God to write that thing, and that's
why they're still doing something.
Will any of and again we're talking with Zachary Lavender, author of this amazing book Victim of Circumstance, but he's also an amazing psalmist and writer and singer and just a good all-around musician. Will any of the songs in the last, well, they will because I still listen to them, so that's probably a great question, but I'll ask you, will any of the songs in the last 10 years still be relevant 10 years from now?
I think so.
You think some of them will last?
The Bible says songs and spiritual songs. You got to understand what understand what it's talking about when it says psalms and spiritual songs. Psalms are any songs that are scripturally based or scripturally related.
Psalms are any songs that are scripturally based or scripturally related.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hymns.
Okay.
A hymn is any song
mm-hmm.
that is pulled from scripture.
Okay.
Hymn. Kurt Carlisle hymns all the time.
I think I'll try. I tell you.
The Bible was hymns all the time.
So.
Over hymns.
So, and he does anthems too, though.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Let me see if you remember this. Do you remember? And I don't know if you participated. You may have because you might have been in Metropolitan. Do you remember? I can't remember the first name, but we used to do this mass choir combination with Kingdom, Greater Union, Metropolitan, and Reverend Lowe.
I remember that.
You remember? and we did this anthem. Praise God Almighty, praise God Almighty, praise God Almighty. And that was the first time, you know, because I just remember singing tenor, and I had never been, you know, asked to push.
Yeah, they're hard work.
Yeah.
It's a hard work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard work.
Do people don't sing anymore?
Some churches do, yeah.
They have, but you have to have a choir again.
Again,
you can't and not
because
7-8 pieces. You call a choir.
Anthem typically takes a full sound.
Yes.
Not a huge choir, but a nice size choir.
Okay.
25 to 30.
Right. You shouldn't be singing an anthem with 10 folks. Is what you're trying to tell me.
It won't be before the set.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What and I'm gonna get back to the hymns thing because I got a thought just popped in my head. What equates what number? Like what's the difference between okay, because praise teams and then you have praise teams, you have chorales and choirs. Is there a number? What should constitute the number of people in the
choir? I think anything
to be useful, because you know,
I think anything a praise team, anything larger than 9. Larger than
9
is a choir.
Anything larger than 9?
That's a choir.
Okay. Less
a praise team should be 9 and under.
9 and under.
3, 3, and 3.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. 3. Yeah. Duh. Okay.
Yeah. Got instead it. Of without,
yes.
Answering three,
yes.
Anything more than nine is a choir.
Anything more than nine is a choir. But if you what if you less than nine, you call me a choir.
That's my choir before a check.
Or a quint, or whatever.
Or a
septuple.
A septuple.
Because you know, you see.
That's not a choir. It's not. It's a quintet. That's not a choir.
I know. I just had to ask. I need to cross it as ensemble.
Right. That too.
Because you see them, you scroll through Facebook and like.
Yeah, but anything more than nine singers, that's one.
Yeah.
Or an ensemble.
Let me get technical for a moment. With praise team, everybody have a mic? Should be individual. Everybody have a mic?
It depends on what your house is equipped with. Because some churches
like, they can't afford to have nine mics.
So,
mics is expensive, y'all.
So you use what you have.
Okay. Okay.
If you have nine mics, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
But
if you don't have nine mics, you don't use nine mics.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I was asking because I've seen people sing, you know, like you know, you could get three people around this and do
right.
that. But a regular cardioid mic is not going to pick that up.
Well, like if you have the equipment, use
mm-hmm.
it. If you don't, you use what you have.
Use what you have.
Right.
So we talked about choirs. One time we had a conversation, you and I, and we talked about choirs being New Testament, Old Testament, praise team, New Testament, Old Testament. Can you?
Well, that's easy.
Okay.
In the Old Testament, the choir is very relevant.
In the Old Testament.
They were very centered and very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
There are no choirs in the New Testament. None. Not that you can have a choir.
Right.
But there are none in the New Testament.
There are no choirs in the New Testament.
All the music in the New Testament was sung by the entire church, the entire congregation. Bob Storr's book on spiritual worship
mm-hmm.
is all about corporate worship.
Everything was about corporate worship.
Everything in the New Testament is corporate worship.
Wow.
Everything. There are no choirs in the New Testament. None.
Wow. That's
the entire church is singing. Everybody is singing. Wow.
And have you okay? So that's this is good. This is why I wanted to do this, y'all. Because this I knew this was going to just flow. Was going to flow easily. Have you been? Oh, they're telling me they can't hear you. All right, because you trying to you can sit up and there you go. Now they hear. Yeah, now they hear. Yeah, because if you can hear you, right. They hear what you hear. In that corporate worship, you know, and we've now, you know, Zachary informed me about a new book. I'm mad about it because it's, yeah. But the other book that he informed me about, I think that was 10 years ago. It may have been that long ago. Probably it was. Changed my perspective on praise and worship. And Bob Sorge is an amazing writer. But just talk about the corporate worship experience because all churches don't really, you know, corporate worship in some churches is we're going to sing this congregational song and then y'all sit down.
Well, it has to be taught.
First one. It has to be taught.
Because it's not being taught.
Mm-hmm.
We as a culture,
mm-hmm.
And I'm included,
mm-hmm.
was taught that the choir does all the singing. I was taught that kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, I was to study scripture and I study how God wants us to worship. It's corporate. The choir, what happens is when the choir is doing all the singing,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a form of entertainment. Why is that? Because the church is not singing.
Mm.
They're staring.
Yeah. So we're at a concert. You know what's amazing to me, and I'm sure you know this. I've been to some concerts. I've seen people in concert and the choir, like a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert. They probably can't sing the song because the whole audience is singing the lyrics to the song. But you don't get that in church.
Right. You can't get that in church.
Wow.
Yeah, we talked about that. You have to. If you want people to know, you have to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I wanted to understand how God wanted me to worship through music ministry.
Okay.
And I read the scripture that God wants corporate worship.
Corporate worship.
Even the music.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What typically happens is from the congregation's view, people feel like I don't have a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think on pitch. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter because God gave every one of us vocal cords.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your vocal cords don't sound like mine, mine don't sound like yours.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But even in that,
mm-hmm.
God wants the whole church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So when the choir's in front of us, you want to join in with that.
Okay. Okay.
It should be going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Going back and forth, right? So that becomes a whole house of worship, a whole house of corporate singing. He wants the whole house engulfed in singing. He wants everybody singing.
Wow, I love this. I love it. So when Tanya, let me know if that sound. It should be better because it sounds better in my ear. No, you good? No, it sounds better. I just want her to just confirm for me. When we're doing praise and worship. Every church does not have the, we talked about this with equipment, but now this is another equipment thing. Every church does not have the capability of having a screen up with so that we can all see the words to the song that you're singing. So at that point, how do you feel about the spectating at that point? Because we don't know the words to the songs. How do you feel about song selection, I guess, is the better? That's a process too. Okay.
I believe that every song that we play in
singing,
should be songs that the congregation will catch on to.
Okay.
One line of it.
Oh, wow. So, okay, got you.
It should not be very wordy.
Okay, okay.
Because typically, they might not catch on to all the words immediately.
Right.
Your songs for praising should be simple songs.
Mm-hmm.
Simple melodies.
Enough that you
they
can...
They can grab it.
And create that corporate worship atmosphere. Got it.
I also believe that if you lead sheep,
mm-hmm.
So,
come on.
The words should be simple.
Yeah.
The melody should be simple melody.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Just how many strings? How many?
Uh-huh.
It should be simple stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because when you think about people would sing, you know, and the song's been old, I think, you know, he not just because funny, because when you did that workshop, that was who y'all had at the workshop. People still singing the presence of the Lord is here.
Right.
Because
it was catchy.
Yeah. The music
right.
was amazing. But the words and everything were
catchy.
Yeah.
Catchy.
Yeah.
I think
another Kurt Carr.
I think the screen came into play because of too many words.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Some too many words.
Okay.
So you put my screen to the power.
Yeah.
That's why they're there.
Okay.
They're too wordy.
It's also some of the songs are two words.
Two words. Even now, some of the songs are two words.
Yeah. Because when you think you have songs like what a corporate worship song would be like, what's the Hezekiah Walker? Every Praise. Every
right.
Praise.
Simple.
Yeah, simple.
Simple.
Simple. Wow.
The other thing you get,
he had another one. Yeah, wait. I know. I'm about to look it up. Oh, yeah.
Simple.
We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me.
Simple.
I need you to survive.
Simple.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It.
Now, every phrase song not going to be that simple.
No.
But you should get as close to possible as you can to simple songs for praise and worship.
Is it okay if there is a healthy mix?
Sure.
Right.
That's called diversity.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's also a learned, that's also a taught or learned.
Because
you have people who just want to get up and just sing everybody's music, and it might not be, not that it's not appropriate, it may not be conducive to the worship in your house.
And I also believe this, that every house have composers in the house.
You believe that?
If they're not there, they don't know that.
Really? Every
church,
every house
has
composers.
If they're not there, they're on their way.
Absolutely. Really?
Yes.
That's saying a lot.
Every church have composed and songwriters in their house.
You know you just opened up another door, right? You just okay. So look, y'all.
If they're not there, they're on their way. They're coming. Yeah. Because I believe God wants creativity, Dana.
Yes.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you need for that house is in that house already.
Wow.
If it's not there, it's coming. It's on its way there.
Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit, because you opened that door. And I've seen you in some amazing posts with people talking about musicians, and so we gonna touch on a little touchy subject. You know, anytime you talk about money in the church, it gets touchy. Musicians, I'll say this: I believe talented, trained musicians should be paid in the church. I believe that. But there is this thing in the church where you and I'm sure you know this, musicians, you know, you working at, you know, you only at this church to play praise and worship. You leave that because you the musician over here, and then you leave that to go play somewhere else. What is the, tell me what's your thought on the current state of that? Because you have, and I understand if that's your line of,
that's your line of
it. Yeah, so that's the other part of it. So help these out with that piece.
Well, number one, mm-hmm. I think every musician should have a set place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the set place.
Mm-hmm. You're good. Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
So I don't believe that every musician should be running out from church to point. I don't think that, no. Every musician should have a set place.
They need a home.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Your set place. Right.
Because that's where your covering is.
That's right.
Okay.
That's your set place for worship.
Mm-hmm.
And the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you choose to go outside, then that's on you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you need a set place.
Because where have you been fed?
Yeah. That's your set place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Now, as far as compensation, as far as being paid, I agree 100%.
Okay.
If you're there and you're consistent,
mm-hmm.
that's your set place.
Mm-hmm.
That's your set. But you minister,
mm-hmm.
why not give you a check?
Okay. Right. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, as far as what you're being paid, that now the church says that. So
right.
But as far as compensation wise, if you're consistent, you're there.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of, for lack of better words, YouTube musicians. Meaning they have learned. They've watched enough, and I don't, maybe that's unfair.
Tutorials.
But there's all these how to play, you know, how to, you know, I mean, literally, if I probably took the time to sit up and watch YouTube and learn how to play a bump, I probably could play a basic bump on an organ if I sat up and watched it long enough. Versus there are those who are masters behind the keyboard. Churches now, depending on who you are, can't afford that. What's your thoughts on musicians giving churches a break until they're able to? What's your thoughts on that? Because some people say, this is my livelihood. There's a difference between a musician who has a full time job Monday through Friday, but if I got a full time job Monday through Friday, and I'm a talented musician who can read music, who can compose music, does that mean I should still command top dollar in the church?
Well, I think first of all, when you before a church even hired you,
uh-huh.
the pastor,
uh-huh.
you all these logistics.
Okay. Okay. So you know
you are from. You're getting into. Right?
You know we ain't got no money when we talk to you.
That's a step. That's established for you to come in the door. Right?
Okay. Okay.
So let's put that out there.
Okay. That's
now,
fair. That's
once,
fair.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Now, once you get in the door,
mm-hmm.
and as now. Now, if you have a small congregation, then I can take you back on top of it, right? So I give you what we give you. So as the church grows,
okay,
your sound grows.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But as far as giving you all the up front, let's talk about what we can't afford to give you
right
from the onset,
right?
So you know what's not established
and what the expectations are.
That's right.
Do we expect you to be here for right. rehearsal? Are you here for afternoon? Is there something different if there's an afternoon program?
That's why I'm a firm believer in documents.
Contract.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in documentation. This is the standard.
Right.
This is what it looks like.
Yeah. And these are our expectations.
You agree with or you don't agree with?
Yeah. And if you sign, we expect
right.
you to follow through with.
That's why when you bring your musicians, sit with them,
mm-hmm.
and you give them this. affront.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are no, there's no hidden agenda.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
This is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This is your salary, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Either accept it or decline it.
The relationship between, have you been used to music before?
Yeah. I was for 4 years.
At
Ingleside.
Got it. Okay. The relationship between minister of music and
pastor.
Can we? This is what we're gonna do. Cause I'm gonna get you some. You want some water? I'm gonna get some water. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the relationship between pastors and ministers of music, praise and worship leaders, because there is a difference between the praise and worship leader and the minister of music, but there's also a relationship between the three.
Absolutely.
This man, look, y'all, we in the studio. We're talking with Zachary Lavender. Man, I am enjoying this. I hope y'all are too. If you got questions, if you can call into the show, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. You can reach us there or just email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Y'all come on with y'all questions in on Facebook. We will be right back in a good hot minute. I'm going to grab me some water because my Gatorade, I think I'm down to the ice bar that was frozen, so we got to play for it. So let me get me some music. I'm going to give y'all some of this. We Need You. I love this song. This worship song by LaNasia Tyson. And then we gonna do that too, man. It's just good. It's just good. Be right back, y'all. Keep
Oh.
When I look at the world, it's hard to believe. We need you, Lord, more than ever before. Heal our land down to the core. Transform our hearts. We're void of your love. Send down your peace. Let it fall from above.
Praise and worship and the relationship between the minister of music and the pastor. And then I also want to talk about the issue with the praise and worship leader and the pastor. So the minister of music and pastor relationship, how important those are in the church. So let's, you know, we can hop right back in this last few minutes that we have. We can hop right back in. What we got? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, when you talk about pastor and worship leaders,
mm-hmm.
Praise and worship leaders,
mm-hmm.
the relationship has to be extremely, lack of a better word, has to be literally molded tight.
Okay.
Bob Shore says that. He says the pastor and worship leader relationship has the potential to be one of the most powerful partnerships in the life of the local church.
Mm.
After a biblical template for the relationship in Psalm 4149 and verse 3, it says, let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Explosive synergy can be found when the ministry of high praise, the worship leader, links up with the ministry of the two-edged sword of the word of God, the teaching of the pastor.
Wow.
So you got the worship leader,
right.
High praise,
right.
And the two ways for the parents when they meet.
Is in your time as minister of music, and then you were praise and worship leader for a while too at different churches. Remember, and I don't know if churches even do this anymore. You know, back in the day, like whatever the pastor preached, that follow up song always coincided with what was preached. And now it's just like, we going to sing whatever we had on our...
That's exactly how I would do it.
Yeah.
That's how she wanted me to do it. We would meet, we would meet once a week.
Really?
Yep. We would go through the whole Sunday morning service.
See, that sounds normal to me. That's not the normal. But that sounds normal to me because I would want to know.
That's how I was there. And then I would make sure that the music that the choir sang lined up with her word every Sunday.
Wow.
It was strategically done. And she and I would go through it every week. We'd meet every Thursday. We'd go through it. And that's how we did it there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how every church does it.
Mm-hmm.
Because every church have a different worship dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, rather than buying for platform time, these two cooperate and labor together for the edification of the congregation. They celebrate the unique gifts each one has and delight in the joy of running together in ministry.
And this is the Bosworthy's first book.
Right.
But you got the third edition. I'm not the second edition I have. Tanya, Which edition of the book do we have? Because I don't know. I taught from one of the editions. I don't know.
The first edition.
Mm-hmm.
He said they help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talking about the pastor and the worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
They help each other be even more effective in their calling.
Mm-hmm.
After all, they lean on each other really hard. A pastor needs a strong, anointed worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
A worship leader needs a capable, anointed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They work together.
Wow.
They work together. When the two come together, something explosive happens. A praising church without a strong ministry in the word will flap around in circles like a one-winged bird.
Mm-hmm.
But a praising church with a strong pulpit ministry
mm-hmm.
will thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When oxygen unites with gas, watch out for combustion.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They work together.
Wow.
The minister of music and the pastor work together.
Wow.
Something happens when the word and music comes together.
That's
it's explosive. And know where I see this?
Yeah, I knew that.
literally see this, and I tell you what someone told me.
Mm-hmm.
I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I see it with dynamite.
It's you can tell when there's a disconnect too.
Okay, you said three ingredients help maintain a healthy.
What you got?
He said three ingredients help maintain
mm-hmm.
a healthy relationship between the pastor and the worship leader:
mm-hmm.
respect, consideration, and communication. Respect, consideration, and communication. Respect one another, be considerate of each other,
mm-hmm.
communicate consistently,
mm-hmm.
and the last one, he says, is to talk to each other.
Yeah. So there's this constant
the synergy.
Communication.
Right.
Wow.
As on the English side, Pastor Ford, I always talked.
Mm-hmm.
We talk all the time about music. Always communicate. It makes a huge difference in what happened. Remember, he said, your communication with the pastor,
mm-hmm.
where y'all have a big energy, this energy going,
mm-hmm.
the congregation edifies from that. They are the result. They benefit from that for
wow.
the communication.
Wow.
It overflows into them.
Wow. Let me do this real quick. I forgot to make this announcement earlier. I thought I was going to do it at the beginning, but I need to pull this up. Let me find it real quick before I, because my mind is bad. Y'all know my mind is bad. On Saturday, here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Don't forget the vendor fair. I forgot all about it, y'all. The vendor fair is tomorrow, 10 a.m. They're going to have all types of information out here, because I know Dr. Tolliver didn't really get mad at me, get upset with me. Vendor fair, August 3rd, 2019. The vendor fair starts at 11 o'clock from 11 to 3:30. It's going to be here. It'll be clothes, household goods, jewelry, cosmetics, purses, food, healthcare services. Come by and see us. Remember to invite your family and friends. The admission is free. So that will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I know I'll be here. I know Natanya will say she's coming through. So come out and support and help us in that endeavor. Again, vendor fair tomorrow, August 3rd, 2019, from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. All right, so we're talking about this synergy that's there. What happens when it's not there?
You struggle.
And it does. Is it obvious to the people?
Yes.
Absolutely. Wow.
Absolutely. If you look at the life of David, David was a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever David got ready to praise God, what always happened? The people would experience that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would always benefit from David's praise.
Mm-hmm.
It's flowing to them. It's flowing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But just by talking to you,
mm-hmm.
you can get a better feel for it.
Yeah.
But there has to be communication.
Wow.
Constant communication.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah.
We're talking with Zachary Lavender. I'm just loving having this discussion about praise and worship and everything. So let me ask you, going forward, let me ask you this. Who are your, what, like, because you mentioned some. You mentioned Kirk Carr. You mentioned Richard Smallwood. Who are your, some of the people that you, I like the term admire, but yeah, you say admire, I guess. But who are the people that you follow? Or that you have a higher respect for?
Smallwood.
He's amazing. Yeah, and he's been around for. Yeah. Yeah.
The other, Judy McAllister, I think is phenomenal.
She is an amazing praise and worship leader.
Black runner, Jason Mitchell.
Jason Mitchell.
Phenomenal worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
Rayshon Terry, Black runner.
Okay.
Phenomenal worship leader. They are really phenomenal worship leader. People who I've admired throughout the years, people I've grown with, different musicians from Chicago that I grew up with. But they're a lot. They're quite a few.
Wow, that's good. That's good. What do you think about is the Chicago gospel music scene? Is there still a lot of untapped talent?
Absolutely, it's very competitive.
It's very competitive.
Which it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
Well, we gonna go there.
I'm gonna keep it real.
You don't like Sunday Best, do you? I know. I remember we had a conversation.
I'm not
I think.
Watching.
That's
just me.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like the fact that people are standing in front of you sitting there judging your hair.
Okay.
I think it's unnecessary. I don't see the point in it.
So you don't, okay. So
you can't judge my hair. And you didn't give it to me.
Okay, so you're taking it from that perspective.
You can't judge my hair. You didn't give me this.
Okay.
And typically, what happens is because I don't know anyone personally, but from a musician standpoint, some of them are not good. I'm not that great of a vocalist. Some of them aren't.
Okay. In some cases, I can see that.
I don't call
them by name either. I just thought about the people that we had on the show.
But
that's from
a musician perspective.
Okay. From a musician's perspective.
Right.
Okay.
So that's
okay. The competition part. Why the competition is because we are competing for jobs in the church? Or what is it?
You mean outside of
that? Whatever, period. I mean, the competition, you said, so you talk about how competitive it is here in Chicago.
Well, first of all, why are we competing with you? Why am I competing with you?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So fair.
Yeah.
We should be complimenting each other, right?
Okay.
I'm not competing with you. Because first of all, and the competition leads into jealousy.
Okay.
So
okay.
So if I'm focused on what God gave me, Dana, I ain't got time to focus on what God gave you. I'm not doing that, and that's when the competition comes in because I'm looking to see how I can better myself against what you have.
Mm.
I don't have what you have. You don't have what I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I use what God gave me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I can use what God gave me, put all that energy into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me perfect what He gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's my best.
Come on now.
That's my best.
Come on now. Okay.
That's my best.
Okay.
But we should never be competing. Never competing with each other. Never compete with each other. That's just not good theology.
Okay.
Why am I competing with you? We should not be competing with each other.
Okay.
And all of us sound like immature.
Well, you remember when we were at the symposium, somebody was one of the topics competition.
Yeah, it was.
You didn't have competition. I think Baby had competition.
I had betrayal.
Yeah, I think Baby, Marcus, Baby had, I think he had competition. Somebody had competition. The guy that was sitting to my, yeah.
I had betrayal.
Okay, so let's deal with that in the music business. And you would know this better than some. How has that been? Because does the competition breed that? Does competition breed that? For lack of better words, backstabbing and undermining.
Just because you're constantly trying to evaluate yourself against someone else's gift.
Mm.
You're constantly doing that.
Mm.
Yeah. You're constantly doing that. And it happened to me at a church I was at for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was horrible. It was really horrible. It was horrible.
Wow.
I'm never a competitive motive with nobody. Never.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had that fear. Never had that fear. Because I always ask God to allow me to focus on what He gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want what He gave you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what He gave me.
Mm-hmm.
What's for me? What He gave Zach?
Mm-hmm.
Let me perfect what He gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me focus on that. And when I can do that, competition is squashed. It's squashed.
Wow.
It's squashed.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. You all, we're talking with Zachary Lavender, author of this amazing book, Victim of Circumstance. Amazing book, but he's also an amazing musician, psalmist, author, writer, all that good stuff. Let's do this. Where would you like to see if you had it, if Zachary could walk into a church and design a worship service based off of your history and your what because some people, you know, some churches have too much music. Can you have too much music? And I'm asking a musician.
Because
Lifeline is 90 minutes, right?
You probably can. Overkill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How in 90 minutes? How many songs are done in Lifeline? Because I can never watch a whole service. I have to be here, of course, but. I know praise and worship.
Maybe two.
They're gonna do two.
Maybe two.
And then
two or three.
Okay. And then the choir.
Sometimes,
because that's not every Sunday.
Right. Maybe two. Or Sunday. Maybe two or Sunday.
So it's just two songs.
Pretty much. Maybe three, two or three songs. If I were to go in and design worship service,
mm-hmm.
I would first want to see the music very, very diverse.
Okay.
Contemporary.
Okay.
Children's music. A very, very diverse repertoire of music. And I say this because then when you look at your congregation, it's what?
Yeah, it's diverse in, well, here it's an age.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Your typical.
I had to say that.
Typically, the congregation is very diverse.
Right.
So why not have your music? The congregation looks like.
Okay. But do you then back yourself into a corner because it's like, oh, now all we're going to do is sing hymns?
No.
Okay.
You have to sing them every Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Every now and then, throw one in every now and then.
Absolutely.
And then with him, you can rearrange him. You can arrange him.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a hymn that was written 5 years ago and rearrange it to make it more modern.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
So be creative.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. You got songwriters there.
Mm-hmm.
The creativity is there. Use what you have in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Bring those songwriters together.
Mm-hmm.
Do a songwriter's clinic.
Okay.
Bring them in. Train those songwriters. Teach them how to write songs. Teach them how to write lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
A songwriter's clinic.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? They're there. Bring them, use your gift, the creativity in your house already.
Mm.
He wants us to use what's there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, you can write your own music for your house. You don't have to sing a hymn every Sunday. You ain't got to answer every Sunday.
What's your
Switch it up, man.
What's your thoughts on, I know we touched on hymns, what's your thoughts on Dr. Watt?
It's outdated.
Ooh.
It's outdated. It's very much outdated.
So outdated to the point of...
There you go.
It's outdated to the point of...
It's something we did.
Right. And it's outdated to... It's something we can... You know, should we just shelve them until Black History Month?
Now, if you have that kind of creativity,
yeah.
If you can do something with it to make it more modern,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Otherwise. That's right. Can it?
Okay. You can't sing it to Black History Month?
No, we can't. If you want to.
I'm just asking.
But like I said, if you want to be creative,
yeah.
Take Dr. Watt and do something with it. It's more modern.
Again, this is where you have to have your composers that you say are already in the church or on their way.
Right. Teachers even train them.
Wow. Yeah. This is.
I'm all for training people.
Okay.
Training teachers.
Okay.
Because so often, I said before, so often in churches, we spend money on evangelism, outreach, but we don't want to spend any money on our music ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Our singers need to be trained.
Because, see, the church thinks that there's, because I'm spending the money paying the musician, that I'm spending the money in the music ministry. And
that's a good point.
Yeah.
If you have a qualified minister of music,
come on now.
We can incorporate that in his budget
right
here to do a workshop.
But
or a clinic for songwriting.
You said budget.
Right.
Most, I shouldn't say most,
because
I'm not there. Most churches' budget only includes paying the musician.
Now let me get on that.
It does not include music education.
Every church with a music man need a music budget.
They need a music budget.
Right.
Wow. Okay. And not just covering the people's salary.
No, you need a music budget for your music ministry.
Yeah.
And then if you have an arts ministry, for your own arts ministry.
Yeah.
You need a budget.
Yeah.
A budget. And that budget should include clinics, training for your singers, for your band, and for your ministry, for your musicians. I also think that every church should have an orchestra.
Wow.
I do. Strength.
You don't have a lot of churches that have.
That's right.
I know apostolic. Well, this is true. Because Apostolic does. Brazier.
You go to White Foundation?
Oh, yeah, they have everything.
They have 30 and 40 orchestras. And they all are paid.
Which is the exact opposite of what they do at Apostolic. Because my understanding is those people in the orchestra at Apostolic are not being paid. I was told that one time. I don't know if it's true or not. But I you said, wow.
Because the word says praise them with string instruments.
It does say that. It says praise them on the psaltery and the harp. It does say that
even,
now.
Even if you start with four or five strings and go from there.
But again, this requires
a budget.
But writers and composers.
That's why you search your congregation for writers and composers. And you train these people. You train them.
Wow.
Teaching and training.
This good folk will have something to leave here with.
And in this time and era, they were skilled. They were skilled and trained. Did they not say that?
Yeah. No, it's in the book now. It's in the book. All right. So where do you see the direction of music going in the church? Where do you see? Before we do that, how would you feel about it? How you like gospel rap? What's your thoughts on gospel rap?
Some of it's very nice. Some of it's not.
Lecrae is amazing.
Yeah. Some of it's pretty good.
Some of it's good.
Some of it's good material.
Yeah.
I agree.
And there's a place for it.
That's right.
You believe there is a place for it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about?
Because you got to understand now, we're a different generation. Because with each generation, there's a different type of, there's a different genre of music that comes up. Because when you come up, it was him. Right?
Yes, it was
him.
The
answer.
Yes.
It's different now.
Yes.
It's different. So why not take all that and incorporate it into worship?
Why not? Tanya, can you adjust the, or you're not able to, can you adjust the time? We're going to be wrapped up shortly anyway, but one of the things, what about trap gospel?
What is that?
What's the song, Erica Campbell? I love God. You don't love God. Some I love God. What's wrong with you? Yeah. I thought it was doing a bit much. Thank you. I thought it was doing a bit much.
You said gospel rap. There is a rap in Bethlehem, Joy.
What is that?
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to get it. You have to give me bring that CD and let me
It's called that name.
That's the name of the rap?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. Do you remember you know Mother Nancy Green, don't you?
Yes.
You know Nancy Green wrote a rap CD?
Have you heard
it? Yes! She performed it in the church. Tanya, don't we got a copy of that CD somewhere? I'm serious. I am not
really.
Sorry, I'm going to put this message thing up on the screen. So you can, because Zachary don't believe. I know you don't believe. Because you can't.
Wait.
It's time to go.
It is. It's time to go.
She did a rap CD, and it's got like 9 tracks. I'm so serious.
You're a dope fan.
Yes. She performed it for Sunday school.
I would love to hear it.
It's got like, it's got beats. It's got beats and everything. I'm telling you, I wish I had. I'm going to have to get it. Mother, right. Mother, Nancy Green. Right. She about 90 now. Right. And yeah. What the,
she
ain't responded. She
we had it, though.
It was there. Oh, my God. Anyway, this has been an absolute joy. It is, and I appreciate you coming back. I know we do have a CD. She said we got it. You know what? I need to get it so we can load it because I'm a. I mean, she was in front of the audience and she was walking and had a little bob in her, you know, with her kitten heels on, you know all that. Anyway. It has been awesome. Again, anytime you want to come back, you're welcome to come back. Especially when we were dealing with this, and we only touched on a little bit, the surface stuff, because there's so much more. This is the thing I said this, and maybe you've had this. Have you ever had this experience? I know I said we're about to go, but they did extend my time for a few minutes. So give me a few minutes. What have you ever experienced? Where praise and worship, where an almost cloud, smoke cloud filling service, where the preacher had not preached. Has it happened in life? I don't get to, you there, you physically there. I have yet to come to a Lifeline service where Reggie didn't preach, where he just didn't preach. Really?
Hello?
Really?
Yeah.
I just assumed it did.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've only had that happen once. In all of my 49 years, I've only been in a service once, and it happened at Kingdom some years ago, where praise and worship just it went a different way. It didn't go what we, I think we sung one song, we rehearsed, and then it went somewhere else.
At Lifeline, I can almost
sing. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I can almost sense them going to take place.
Wow.
You there's a for me, for sitting there, I can almost I just know what's gonna happen.
There's a sign. Mm-hmm. As William Murphy would say, there's a sign. Mm-hmm. With Tasha Top, there's a sign.
And Pastor Ray, he just
gets out the way. Yeah.
It's a great transition.
I've seen him. I'm going to tell you something.
And
I watched.
Everybody cannot do that.
No. Okay, real quick. Okay.
Cannot do that.
I know.
I mean, it's a great flow.
When.
It's so beautiful.
I've seen people, and that again comes with. There are some pastors who don't understand what true worship is, and those are the ones that try to tamp it down. They try to quench the spirit, so to speak. They throw a blanket over it, and because like, all right, that's enough. And you can see that there's some, and I'm not talking about folks just up dancing and all that, because you know we overdo that. We really overdo that a lot in certain places. But where there is the spirit of God is actually moving in the room, and the person behind the microphone is ill-equipped to respond.
One thing I've learned about that is that sometimes when you're in worship, you step away from the microphone.
Come on.
Step away from the mic.
Yeah. Because you're in the way. Because you might say something.
Step away.
Yeah. Wow. That's ooh.
Step away.
That's heavy. Yep. That got good. All right.
And when you step away, it allows those people to do what it wants to do.
Yeah.
Step away from the microphone.
That's good.
And sometimes it's putting it away. You can put it down.
Mm-hmm. And you'll know when if at all, to come back to it. That's good.
Even the singers.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
I see it heading in that direction. I really do.
Where's it gonna be more of that?
Yes, because from heaven
mm-hmm.
to earth.
that's the new book.
It's starting to take shape in the earth right now.
Yeah.
His glory is starting to be on the earth more and more now.
And I think honestly there is a natural desire for it now. I think there are people who are actually hungry. I think people have gotten there is, and I don't like to repeat people, but because I remember when Larry Trotter and Sweet Holy Spirit when they came out with My Worship Is For Real, that song will never get old. Sean Mitchell and the crew over there. But at the beginning of that song, he says, you know, it's time to stop playing church. And I think there is a remnant of people
sure.
who have decided that they no longer want to go through just the motions of doing church, and they're waiting and they're wanting to see true deliverance and yokes being broken and people being, you know, we don't have that anymore. And in the Baptist church, it's always been something that, we, you know, I know since I've been here at Ebenezer, I have tried my darndest.
Right.
Make sure I use the right words. I've tried my darndest to get us out of that. Just come to church and do church.
That rut?
Yeah, that rut, that going around in circles. You know, I think it's Jonathan Reynolds has a song called Cycles. You know, we're going around and around and around. And so that we recognize that we come here for a purpose, not just to sit and be preached and sung to, but to worship. If you're coming and you're not worshiping, then why are you here? You know. So what's your thought on that? I know there's probably a section in that book about it. But what's your thoughts on people actually now having a hunger for true worship versus? Because you know, we went through a phase where there was a lot of just singing and dancing and jumping.
Well, you said, I remember.
Yeah.
There's a remnant. I believe as the earth becomes more corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
As it becomes more corrupt, more evil.
Wow.
More worship gonna come forth.
Okay. Wow.
It's gonna come forth. It has to because I also believe the only thing that's gonna cure racism and evil is worship.
I believe worship. Yeah.
There's a song I was talking about on that air. It's called Disturb Us, Lord.
Disturb Us. Disturb Us, Lord.
Disturb Us, Lord.
What?
Right now,
oh, God. Okay, hold on. And who's it by?
Lionel Harris.
Disturb Us, Lord. Let me see. Facebook, I don't want no drama. You know, we got some of our license, but don't be talking crazy. I don't want nobody trying to mute nothing. Disturb us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can. If this don't work for me. Come on, act right. Let's see. Disturb us, Lord. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to Larnell? Oh, it's Larnell, not Lionel. Okay, I thought it was. Oh, Larnell. Larnell, let's see what we got. Can we get a little bit of this? Disturb us, Lord. Is it going to play? What did I do? Oh, wait. I probably got something muted over here. Hold on. What did I do? Hold on. Or is it playing somewhere else? Come on now. Why won't it play? See, this is what happens when I always load the music early. Oh, is this it? Let me just do this. Let me go over here a little bit.
When we withhold from us all we've been given much, if the fire of our first love's not burning bright as before, disturb us, Lord.
Okay. I'm gonna have to. Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm gonna have to get some more of that. Disturb us, Lord, when we're not in your word, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's all right. Okay. Wow. That's good. Look, this has been an awesome, awesome, amazing show. I need to get Zach back where he needs to be. This has been an awesome, amazing show. It's been an amazing, amazing time. I am thankful so much. Let's do this real quick. Father God, we just pray right now, God. We just thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Lord God, we ask that you would continue to cover him and all of his endeavors, God. Everywhere that he steps, God, just continue to bless him, God, and have him reach more than just the people he's been reaching, God. Send him to the nations, God, because you have gifted him not just for the city and not just for this state or this country, God, but for the world. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Now, God, as we leave this place, but never your presence, we ask for traveling mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. But you know, I know the routine. If you can't do nothing else, if you got to drive through this special, special city we call Chicago, do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters. Keep your head on a swivel.
Put your hands up.